must stand with our brothers and sisters around the world in the name of Christ, because Christ unites black and white and Asian and American. He unites us under a single banner, the banner of the cross. It isn't Parliament that is king, or Charles that is king, but Christ who is king.
On the 13th of September 2025, 150,000 people marched on London. Crosses emblazoned with Jesus' name were held high, and chants of Christ as King were heard in Whitehall. The response from the country's bishops, approbation and condemnation. The man at the helm of it all was Tommy Robinson, previously convicted of stalking, assault and contempt of court, who founded and led the far-right English Defence League. He claims that whilst in prison last year, he came to faith. It was the biggest nationalist gathering in Britain to date, and on the 16th of May, it's happening again. I'm Anna Rhys Green, a news journalist here at Premier, and we need to talk about Christian nationalism. But what exactly is it? Premier asked you, and over 250 people responded. Here's how our listeners interpret the label.
Right-wing people using Christian as a term to disguise racism, utter nonsense in my opinion.
Restoring the UK to a praying nation as in the days of World War II. Proud of our national flag, which has strong Christian origins.
23% of Christians who responded to our survey said they do identify as a Christian nationalist, and a quarter say they believe it to be a godly movement. But 77% of Christians asked rejected the term. Words like far-right, racist and even extremist repeatedly came up in their responses. It's clear that the term means different things to different people. One man who works at the intersection of policy, identity and Christian faith is Danny Webster, head of advocacy at the Evangelical Alliance.
I would say that Christian nationalism is a particular way that Christians think about how their faith and their belief interacts with the country they are in. If we think back over the last 10 years, that has grown in the United States, but it is really only in the last year or two that in the UK it's a noticeable thing that people are talking about. I think some of the trends and some of the undercurrents are much longer lasting than that. People have had a nationalistic view, or even just on a softer sense, a patriotic view of the nation that comes out of their Christian faith for a long time. I think we have seen it as a political vehicle much more recently. A lot of that has been sparked by the United Kingdom marches and some of the public activity around that. So I think much more attention has been given to it.
And now I have a confession to make. I started this series wanting something completely different. My hope was for a roundtable, family-style discussion where people on different ends of the spectrum of Christian nationalism could get together and discuss what it looks like to be believers in 21st century Britain. But this just wasn't possible. People on the, so to speak, left of the argument said they didn't want to sit down with somebody who espoused, in their words, hate speech. And I totally understood, but to talk about this topic, I really had to speak to somebody who proudly embraces the label. It wasn't easy, as a lot of people who began to identify it, or said they did, soon said, actually, my views are a lot broader and I don't feel like I can fully claim the label Christian nationalist. But one guy, Bob from Speaker's Corner, embraces it. He's the person who led the chants of Christ as King at the Unite the Kingdom rally. With 95,000 subscribers on YouTube, he's popular for his debate-style videos, often arguing with Muslims about the tenets of their faith versus Christianity. I sat down with him to ask him what it means.
It's the idea that the church is a nation. The church, the people of God, are a nation by covenant. They're a nation by sacrament. They're a nation by faith. They're a nation by spirit. And as a people, as a nation, it has political, cultural, economic and social interests that it should pursue in each sphere. And that includes in politics.
You know, immigration, I think that's the one that gets the airtime in conversations about nationalism. Are there kind of headline issues for you, and your position on those could be different from somebody who is just, you know, a secular nationalist?
Yeah, to give some examples, as a Christian nationalist, I want a pathway to the total abolition of abortion. I want the aid and solidarity with the persecuted church to be one of the primary concerns. Helping the poor is a given, you know, but that kind of emphasis on helping the poor or caring for the environment, which is a God-given gift, would set me apart from a lot of the sort of right-of-spectrum thinkers who treat questions around environmentalism with suspicion and have an almost indifference or apathy towards the poor. It would mean the end of LGBTQ silent P politics in our society, that Christian ethics and Christian ethos and Christian culture should be the normative prism of education in schools. And one thing that would set me apart again would be that I obviously accept the biblical category of refugees and the biblical obligation to care for refugees, not illegal migrants, which is a different category of people.
Bob's views are definitely on the conservative side of things, and it's worth saying that Christians have a range of views on marriage, sexuality, the environment, abortion, and every political issue, because of course we're different people. But surely most can agree that following your faith when it comes to politics isn't that controversial if you're a believer. Tommy Robinson felt like the elephant in the room. I asked Bob whether the movement of Christian nationalism is a dog whistle for a white Britain.
Certainly the Christian nationalists that I know and that I speak to, none of them have a concern about whiteness. It never comes up in conversation. And I'm possibly the most radical out of the group that I talk to, at least, because I don't connect the idea of a nation to a particular people. When I'm talking about the nation biblically, I'm talking about the church. And the church is obviously Catholic. It's universal. It's for all peoples and all tribes. I think that the people that are doing the dog whistling are the ones that are trying to label and libel everyone as racist and xenophobic, who wants to talk about borders and immigration and about the fact that we've got issues in the collapse of our southern border, in the policing of our laws about entry.
So for you, it's not a movement about race?
Who? What movement are we specifically talking about?
Christian nationalism?
No, definitely not. How can it be? Hey, it can't. I mean, that just wouldn't make sense. There are in America actual racists, genuine ethno-nationalists, that as a way of trying to parasitically enter the church, are wrapping themselves up in the term of Christian nationalists.
Right.
But in the UK, that is not something that is going to be, it's not something I've ever heard amongst the Christian nationalists that I've spoken to. It's not a concern.
On that then, if it's not about race, do you think that Christian nationalists who are truly in step with Christ and truly love the Lord could be doing more to unmarry the movement from the idea that it is about race? Because I think what people are seeing is, and we mentioned your kind of work and contact with Tommy Robinson before, they know his history with the English Defence League.
Yeah.
They see him on stage at an event where there are also Christian words being used and crosses, and they think, how can I separate those two?
Well, Tommy Robinson isn't a racist. I mean, it would be nice if people stopped lying about Tommy Robinson. And part of the problem is that it's just the way that media works or maybe just political culture works, is that it is far easier to strawman your opponent than to engage in an honest conversation.
But I do have to say the English Defence League, I don't think you can say that that's not racist.
The English Defence League was a working class movement of working class people trying to give voice to their concerns because nice, polite, middle class Christians didn't want to listen
to
them.
But do you see how somebody who's not white would see that?
Do you see how a community might want to stand up to the fact that there has been an industrial level grooming gang? Which bishop before the EDL spoke up about the grooming gangs? There's a blind spot amongst comfortable Christians in this country where they look down their nose upon working class Christians for speaking up for themselves and cannot see how on their spectrum of thought, they are doing the same things as I'm trying to articulate and give you examples there too.
For Bob, Tommy Robinson is a working class figure simply trying to voice an opinion on a country that he thinks is losing its sense of identity. But many Christians I spoke to had real reservations about a movement which appears to platform someone with such a deeply controversial past, whether or not they've come to faith now. Somebody who has first-hand experience of living in a place where there are tensions around nationalism is Tony Urdin. He's the pastor of a church in Tower Hamlets, one of Britain's most diverse areas. He describes himself as half Bangladeshi, half British, and 100% English. Tony's worried that using strong rhetoric and language only causes division and detracts from the true Christian message.
There's a lot of instrumentalizing working class experiences, sometimes to express racist views. I would say that some of the discussion really does come from a place of racism. It comes from a place of disliking people of other cultures. And I think sometimes from a place of fear. I would really want to advocate if something is Christian, I would say that it's coming from a place of being reconciled to God.
Yeah.
Reconciled within the Christian community and being ministers of reconciliation beyond that. So if something purports to be Christian, I struggle to see how it can be adversarial in nature. And I think that's the concern I have. So where people are very adversarial, where they stop seeing the person in front of them.
It is clear that Christian nationalism and the effects of it are bubbling in the UK, and it's going to shape faith and politics, whether we like it or not. I'm Anna Rees-Green, and this is what Christian nationalism means for believers like you.